Guys, welcome back to the Love Letters to Broadway podcast. The podcast, oh, number 28.
Whoa.
28.
Whoa.
That's crazy. We're almost at 30. What should we do when it's 30?
I want to do something special. I wonder if we could get some sort of interview for 30.
The 30 30. The dirty
Oh.
30.
Oh, okay.
So we're a Broadway podcast. We talk all things Broadway and our adventures, our tips, our tricks, where to sit, lotteries. We just yap a lot about Broadway and our obsession with Broadway. And my name is Skylar.
And I am Michelle, and here we are again.
Yeah, welcome back. So this week we're gonna talk about our huge hyperfixations. And then we'll go into some exciting Broadway news. But then at the end, we're gonna review Here in Town. Dun, dun, dun.
Have thoughts.
I have lots of thoughts, but like the more I'm looking into it, I think our thoughts are aligning with certain people. So I'm like happy and feel better about it.
Yeah, I'm happy we're not alone. I mean, I guess even though we're not talking about it yet, I will say right from the bat, Here in Town was not for me. So if you're expecting a happy-go-lucky review from me, you're not gonna get it. I'm sorry, everyone.
I'm excited to see where we like what our number is once we break it down because I think we're very disappointed.
Mine's gonna be low. I'm so sorry. This may be my lowest review, I think, on the podcast yet.
You know what we have to stop doing, maybe? Because like this keeps happening to us. We put things up here and they miss the mark. Like I was so excited. Like we have to go in with like even.
No, it's
Or
very
something.
true. It's very true. I was so excited for Year in Town. I had heard great things about the show in the past, and I really tried to go in with an open mindset and like really not knowing anything. The only song I had known going into it was Run Freedom Run. And I just like, I don't know. I mean, we'll talk about it later. I just couldn't understand why the show was so hyped. I also just felt like I missed a lot with it. Like parts of it just didn't make sense to me. And I also just felt like you could tell it was a rush production. But we will get into that later. I have a lot of
Yeah,
thoughts.
we got thoughts. Michelle, you want to start with your hyperfixations and then we'll.
Sure. So I don't know. I don't really have too many hyperfixations this week. I don't know why. I feel like I haven't been doing like anything with my life. Like I feel like I go to see Broadway shows with you, I do work, or I play on Roblox,
On
but
repeat.
on repeat. But in terms of like music, like I do have some hyperfixations I could chat about. In third place this week, we are giving a throwback to an old song that was on my list a long time ago, which is Save the City from
Oh
Marvel
my God, yes.
Hawkeye TV show. Fantabulous. You know I love that number.
Yes. And then you got me obsessed with it once you told me about it.
Yeah, I've been jamming to that all week. So that's number three. And number two, I've been just blasting once again the High School Musical 3 soundtrack.
Oh, so good.
I'm having a throwback week. If I was to name some particular songs that I have been really enjoying, I've been enjoying Walk Away. I've been enjoying Scream.
Scream
I
is so
also
underrated.
so underrated, and that song is just like hot heaven. And I've
Oh,
also been really listening to like the actual High School Musical song from the third movie, and also Just Getting Started, which was the end credit scene song thing. So that was fantastic. And I guess in my number one spot, which a lot of you are not gonna expect from me, I have a playlist on my phone called Country Class because I
oh
take
no.
line dancing classes. Yes, that's right. You've heard it here, everyone. I do country line dancing.
And
So,
Skylar is a country music hater.
Skylar
So
hates country. I used to feel like that And now I'm a country girl. And I love to shake it and do my line dancing. So, if I could make some recommendations of country music for any of you that like country out there, I
Ugh.
highly suggest, hey, I
Ugh.
highly suggest Crank It Up by Colt Ford. I suggest The Devil Went Down to Georgia, the Charlie Daniels Band version. I recommend Country Girl Shake It For Me by Luke Bryan, and I recommend One Too Many by Luke Combs.
So I guess because I'm from Long Island and all the bars on Long Island, all they play is country music, and I'm so over it. But I also was a hater since I was young. I was the emo kid, rock music person. Whenever I hear a country song, it makes me want to like literally vomit.
I think you need to give it another try, and I think you should
No.
come with me to my line dancing class.
This is a no for me, dog. There is no changing my opinion on
You
country
are
music.
missing out. You are missing out. We had a really fun Valentine's Day class recently. Everyone got cowboy hats that were red. We just groove it up, we shake it. And I have a few different pairs of cowboy boots, and I'm living my Southern cowboy cowgirl fantasy dream, and you're missing out. So there.
I'm okay. I'm good with missing that one. I don't think you can. You can keep trying, but I don't think my butt will ever, because I just can't. I just can't. The saddle on up in the with the horse with the
Even
truck.
like that anymore. A lot of the songs from like today's country music is really more like a pop country mix, and it's just like really fun. Like, okay, next time I see you, we're gonna play some of these songs in the car.
No,
Oh, we
please
are.
don't.
My car, my rules. We're gonna play it.
You can't get me to like country music. It's a lost cause. And my, I'm not gonna say how old I am. I almost said how old, but yeah, no, I can't do it. I can't.
More country for me then.
Yeah. Do you have any TV shows? You said Roblox.
Roblox is the video game. It's the computer game. But I guess in terms of TV shows, again, I'm watching still Switched at Birth. Now Emmett and Bay are having some issues. Bay almost went to jail. She's not in jail anymore. And she went to try to celebrate and she got raped. And it's a whole thing going on.
Oh
Emmett
my
thought she
God.
cheated, but she didn't cheat. She got raped. It's different, and there's a whole thing going on.
That show was intense.
This show is just fluctuates high and low and high and low. You never
Yeah.
know what's happening next.
That's crazy.
So I've been watching that. Still watching MasterChef. I'm about to do the season finale of season 13. Let's think what else. I feel
Is
like
there
that's really it
hyperfixation
right this now.
in this moment?
I feel like that is what I'm hyperfixating over. I mean, like, are there things that get my gears going, get me excited? Yeah, but I think those are my main squeezes this week.
That's good, except the country. But
Hey!
everything else is I'm kidding. I'm kidding, people. That's just my opinion.
You're gonna lose us, anyone who's listening here from the South. They're gonna be like, what did she just say about my country music? And hang up on this podcast.
But the thing is, everybody's different. I just personally am very over country. That's me. And
Can you be
doesn't
under
matter.
country? Can you be over country if you were never under it though?
Well, I don't think I'll ever get under it. I just can't. I just can't.
I think we have to take you to the right event and you're gonna catch the bug.
I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible at all. But okay, let's move on from that.
Wait, no, I have to, okay, I have to do one scenario.
Oh, what?
What if one of your like Broadway car crushes came up to you and was like, "Yo, Skylar, I would love to take you out country line dancing." Are you gonna say to them, "F that, SHIT, I don't like country," or would you go?
I would say, can we go somewhere else and just listen to music? Because I cannot dance.
And what if they say, oh, absolutely not. This is where we're going. And you, I love country. Like, I love country in my entire soul.
And I don't think I can go. Like, I really don't think so.
You would say no to a Broadway crush?
I might have to, because first of all, I can't dance. Like, that's a known fact. Like, I can. You give me some alcohol, sure, I'll move my butt. But, like, dancing nicely and, like, in, like, whatever, I can't do. And you can't get me to do it unless I'm wasted.
So if Luke Thompson, for example, from Bridgerton, who plays Benedict, came up to you and be like, "Hey, Skylar, I like your look. I like you, girl. Let's go country dancing and then I'll marry you." You will say no.
I think I would be more embarrassed to do it. I think if like a huge crush asked me to do it, they would hate me by the end of it because they'd be so embarrassed. I have long arms, I'm double jointed in weird ways, my legs are oddly long, like I would just be so like alien-ish doing it. Like they'd be like, yeah, sorry,
That's
but
actually really funny.
that's the end.
Okay, you
Yeah,
got me. You got me.
it makes sense.
Okay,
Okay,
your turn.
so
I just had to ask.
now they all know I'm weirdly double jointed. Yeah. Okay, so my hyperfixations, I have some songs and then obviously like books. At three, I've been back into the next to normal craze a little bit. The song Just Another Day I've been listening to. Again, if you don't know Next to Normal, go back and listen. Aaron Tveit is Gabe, so that if that's a way to, I forget what I was gonna say.
If that makes
No.
you want
Thank you. My brain is like
to listen.
kaput. Aaron Tveit is Gabe and Alice Ripley is Diana. So we haven't seen her, which we were just talking about her.
Yeah,
She's
she disappeared.
disappeared. Those two are iconic. I just love that song. So I've been listening to that. At two, it makes sense because I was literally humming it yesterday. Close by Jason, I've been addicted to.
Yeah, you were grooving to that yesterday.
I really like that song. Might not watch the video, but I'm kidding. I'm kidding, I'm kidding. That's at number two. I've been really liking that. At number one, I'm back in our rent sphere because we bought tickets to see the Jonathan Larson project, which I'm so excited about. But I've been listening to Another Day from Rent, which is
Good
Mimi and
song.
Roger just going back and forth, and I just love that. And another like Aaron Tveit obsessed person would say, if you go on YouTube, you can see him and Vanessa Hudgens singing it at the Hollywood Bowl, and that's iconic.
You know, I didn't realize until you just said it now that they starred in that together at Hollywood Bowl and then also went on to star in Grease Live together.
Yeah, and I don't think people give Vanessa Hudgens enough credit at how amazing she was.
No, she is actually
She
an
was so good.
incredible live stage actress. I saw her as Gigi in
Yeah.
Gigi, and like she was phenomenal. Like I think people only think about her and like Zac Efron, like all of them from High School Musical, but they've really become so much more than that. But I feel like it's hard to shake that bubble.
It was so good. That was actually good. The Grease, like live, that was good. Some of the other ones were questionable, but that was good.
Yeah, that was a good one. So, what are the books?
So I finished in like 2 days the Bridgerton, An Offer from a Gentleman, which is Benedict's story. I will say I would rate it like 3 out of 5 stars. It took them way too long, like the story. And there was not as much spice as like the previous books. Like, I understand not every book has to be spicy, but like just a little bit more so that you can understand their love for each other, because I wasn't really getting it. So I'm curious how it changes from the book to the screen, and maybe they'll like develop it more.
So, What's interesting is the other day I actually watched a special Bridgerton online event that was on Valentine's Day. They did like a sneak preview of season 4 and they had an interview with the cast. They did say that season 4 is the most true to the book out of all of the seasons of Bridgerton that they have done thus far. Like
Okay,
they're
so I'm
really not
wondering.
straying away from it.
Like, there was spice theme. There was like one or two, but I would expect in like a 400-page book that there would have been like a little bit more.
But if you think about it, there wasn't much spice with Kate and Anthony until like the very like last like 2 episodes of the show, which I think is also how it was in the book. Because
Yeah.
the love story at first is not as like between him and Edwina. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see, definitely. But so right now I'm reading Blood of Hercules by Jasmine Moss. I've heard very good things about. I'm like 50 pages in, so probably I'll be done probably in a couple of days and let you guys know if it's worth it.
Any movies, any shows? No.
Nothing. I tried The Traitors because Trisha Paytas talks about it a lot. It's just strange. And I couldn't
Yeah.
do it. I don't
It's
know.
not for everyone.
Yeah, that's kind of that was my week. Iconic.
So I guess then moving into Broadway news, there was a very exciting piece of Broadway news that was announced this week, and I'm gonna let Skylar say it because I think when she found out about it, she had a conniption and screamed like a maniac.
I did. I was by myself and I went, shut up, shut up, shut up. And I texted you, shut up. And in the outline right now, it's I wrote it in all caps because, like, I can't even. Jordan Fisher is going to be the new Christian starting April 15th. Like, are you kidding me?
What's crazy is that you predicted this. You said weeks ago that you thought he would be taking over as Christian at some point. Did you say it in last week's episode of the podcast?
I'm not sure. I saw it on TikTok. I saw somebody say it, and I was like, huh, that would make sense. I mean, and
He's
I
the
was
right
like,
age, the right look, right
yeah,
vocal type.
I'm going to pass away. His Roxanne is going to be unreal. Unreal.
I would like to go back to see Mulan, but I'm only going back for him. I really don't care to see the show anymore. I will go for him.
I definitely like don't want to see Boy George though. That's a major issue for me.
I know, but we don't really have a choice. The
They
only
become
night
screwed.
apparently Boy George is not in is Jordan's premiere night, which is April 15th, which I feel like it's going to be like impossible to get tickets, but we could try.
Yeah, we could try. I'm so excited. I think he's gonna bring that depth of Christian that is needed. I am very curious to see John Cardoza. Because I wanna see. Oh my God, I won. Sorry.
What?
I won. Guys,
Okay,
I
we
have
Skylar won a lottery.
That's insane.
We need to discuss for a second. Let's uno momento pause this recording. Okay, we're back.
And
Sorry
we're
for that brief
back.
intermission. You guys will find out possibly what that's about eventually. But anyway, moving on to the next piece of Broadway news. The Broadway musical Real Women Have Curves, which is going to be opening in April, is going to be having a special box office opening event on February 25th. And again, it's always on a weekday.
I'm kind of like, that's annoying to me, but I'm kind of obsessed with like the box office opening being like a huge deal. 'Cause like this, they're gonna give out a limited number of tickets for 1987, which is corresponding to the year that the show came out, takes place, I mean. But they're also gonna have like a, I saw like a taco truck or something that they're gonna give breakfast burritos out.
Really?
Yes, it said it on their Instagram. I was like, it's like a huge event. Yeah, Los Tacos number one. They're gonna give breakfast out to people.
Oh, I love that. But at the same time, it's like I hate that they do it on weekdays. Like, don't they understand that people work? Like,
Yeah. And it's like 10 a.m., which like there's no shot.
Like there would be, it would be better promotion for your show if you did it on a weekend.
Oh, you know what's interesting? It says it's gonna exclude the Saturday evening shows that have special ticket price. That's interesting.
Well, because that's like peak Broadway. I don't blame them.
Yeah, cause but that would be like we'd want those dates. But yeah, if
Yeah.
you are maybe you don't have work that day, I would go. I mean, 1987 for tickets, no matter where you sit, it would be cool.
We can't beat that. I wish we could
It's
go.
like when we saw Maybe Happy Ending, we paid like what, $28 or something?
Someone go get the tickets for us.
Yes, please. Yes, you could get two each.
Yeah, so two people go and get us each a pair of tickets. Thank you.
Thanks.
Moving on, Sutton Foster is going to be starring in a stage version of Loretta Lynn's Coal Miner's Daughter, which is currently in development, and it is the 1980 film and autobiography moved to the stage. I am very excited about this. Have you ever seen the movie?
No, I've never seen the movie.
It's fantastic. It's the true story of Loretta Lynn and how she came to be a famous country singer. But it's a great movie. I'm not gonna lie to you though, I cannot picture Sutton Foster as Loretta Lynn. It's actually
Maybe
a
they'll have
very
their own.
serious role, so I don't understand. I just feel like Sutton Foster is a comedic actress. I also think she's a little too old to play Loretta Lynn.
Oh, yeah. I just looked up a picture of her. Sutton Foster is definitely a comedic actress.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know. I don't understand how she's playing that part. I mean, I guess they look a little bit alike, but like Loretta Lynn was much younger, especially earlier. And you know, we saw Sutton in Once Upon a Mattress. She's looking a bit older.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think with the right makeup, she might be fine.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see when we hopefully get some pictures released.
Okay, did you see Patrick Page? We talked about his recent injury, which prevented him from joining the original cast in Hadestown. But now he's just gonna perform for the recording of Hadestown, and that's it. How do you feel about that?
Wow. I mean, I feel horrible that he has an injury. Oh, sorry for yawning during that. I feel bad that he has an injury, but I'm sure there are people who bought tickets specifically to see him, and I feel bad about that.
But I'm also like, how is he capable of doing those two shows, but not, you know what I mean? Like, at that point, I feel like it's not safe for him, and he's gonna worsen the injury, and he should just let Philip Boykin do it.
What was the injury?
I think it was his Achilles, if I'm remembering correctly, which that is pretty painful.
That's painful, but I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of funny given that this is a Greek musical.
Yeah, but like, yeah, rupture of his Achilles tendon.
Oof.
So like,
So how is
but
he able to walk for those shows, but he can't walk for any others?
and he is in a boot. So is he gonna be in a boot? Are they gonna? I mean, they could probably cover it the best they can. I personally think to be safe, like if I was his wife, let's say, I'd be like, no, just it's okay. You're not going to be in the thing. It's fine. Let's like not make
Like,
this
he's
worse.
still in the recording. He still will always be the original Hades.
Yeah. Like I would be like, just let Philip Boykin. It's fine.
I feel like there's a chance that things are gonna change before that recording. I think we're gonna get another announcement about something.
Yeah. I just like I understand. I mean, he originated Hades. Like he's incredible, but with something so serious like that, I can't imagine him being able to like walk down the stairs too. Like they're gonna have to stage it differently, probably.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. I honestly don't really know what to think.
Because honestly, it's gonna take him forever to get down those stairs.
I mean, maybe it's in his contract. Like, he has no choice. Like, he has to at least be in the pro shot. I would rather them move the date of the filming.
Yeah, that's what I
Like,
don't get either. They could just move it. But I guess Eva is going to be in Cabaret. They have other engagements, everybody else, but
I
I
guess that's
don't
true. I don't
So
know.
I saw that and I was like,
Some other interesting news this past weekend was SNL's 50th anniversary. And if you are a theater kid, I hope you watched it because, first of all, besides being like theater kid heaven, they had a whole number where they did like a bunch of parodies of Broadway musicals. There was a lot of Les Mis thrown in there. John Mulaney starred in it. What were the other musicals they did? Oh, they did The Lion King. Like Nathan
Yes.
Lane came out and sang instead of Hakuna Matata, Cocaine and Vodka, which was fantastic. And the best part was like not even like the celebrities, but in the background, you saw like a bunch of famous like Broadway dancers. Like I spotted Tommy Bracco. I spotted Sean from The Outsiders.
My God, yeah. I saw Tommy Bracco and I was like, oh my God, this man is everywhere.
He's
Like, and
everywhere.
then he's just in Florida.
Yeah, he just did the Newsies like little mini reunion in
I love
Florida
that man.
too.
Love that man.
Like he's keeping himself booked and busy while planning his wedding. Good for you,
Like, I don't know
Tommy.
how, but the most important thing, who made a cameo, and he's a hot topic, as Marius.
Oh,
Nick
Nick
Jonas.
Jonas. I was like, what is she saying right now?
That is the funniest part.
When he did that, I literally paused like the show because I was just like, anyone who is not a theater kid will just completely not understand this right now and how significant this is.
And I just love that they put that for theater kids because we're all talking about Nick Jonas and him in the last 5 years. Like, and
I
there he
know.
is, and his Marius.
But he looked so angry when doing that part too, because he probably knows he's like, okay, I get it. Everyone hated me as Marius, and it's gonna happen again. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, which, yeah, poor guy. But it is really funny. I like when people are able to make fun of themselves. I like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, that was really awesome. But the whole SNL 50 was really awesome. So if you haven't watched it yet, I believe it's on Peacock.
Yes, I gotta watch it. I only watched, obviously, the musical theater part of it. I love John Mulaney.
Oh, he
I
was
love
fantastic
him.
in it. You know he was an SNL writer.
Yes, that's where he started, which
Yeah,
is
so
so
that's why
cool.
it's nice that they bring him back. But even just like in general, there was a lot of other theater kid references. They even had Lin-Manuel came out and
Yeah.
he did My Shot, and dressed up as Hamilton in his Hamilton costume. They just brought back like every big SNL celebrity ever. Like Will Ferrell was in it, Eddie Murphy was in it, Mike Myers showed up. Like
It's like nostalgic.
it was incredible. I was like, I still have to finish watching it the last. I don't know, did I finish it? I did finish it, never mind. I was watching it slowly, but it was fantastic.
Yeah, I gotta watch it. But that was cool. And then a new musical, which I s saw the promo for it, but I didn't see Betsy Wolf in it. I feel like I saw this promo a while ago. But I guess she just got casted. So it's Joy, which is a new true musical based on the life of businesswoman and inventor Joy Maggiano. Oh, she Italian.
I think it's Magano.
Oh, Maggiano.
There's no I.
Man. Oh.
Mang.
I went full Italian. I
You were
just
like, you were
assumed.
like,
I got
Italian side, here
excited.
we go. Here, Italian side, here we go.
Got a little bit of Greek, a little bit of the Italian. But yeah, I saw Betsy Wolf. I don't know about this show, but it will begin previews off Broadway June 21st. It'll open
So
July 20th.
it says here, first of all, there's also a movie called Joy. It's based on a movie and a real life story.
Is that
But
the new thing?
it says here that Joy created the Miracle Mop, like that mop product. And
Is this
she's
the new
also the
thing?
founder and CEO of Clean Boss.
Everything's based on a movie.
Everything. I'm like over it. I'm so over it. I'm sorry. But like come up with something original. But also, I don't understand how this is becoming a musical. I'm not gonna lie. I'm curious to see it. I also get very nervous. Is it gonna give us Left on 10th vibes?
Yes. Yes. This is a musical though. Or Tammy Faye. It can't be as bad as Tammy Faye.
I
Nothing can
hope.
be.
Tyler.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. That musical got me twisted. But I don't know. I feel like everything, okay, in this season, the only new musicals, what is it? The Outs? No, that's based on a book. It would be maybe Happy Ending.
In terms of a new musical,
Right?
well,
That's
that's
not
this
based on
past
anything.
season. I mean, Redwood, which just
Redwood.
opened, is a new musical, but that's again now the next book, the next season, right? Or is it still the same? Because it's the same season. I think it's the same year. So there's Redwood, Real Woman. No, Real Woman is a movie.
Movie.
Buena Vista Social Club may be original.
That's original. Because Smash is a show. Picture of Dorian Gray is a book. Yeah. So it's, I think, and we shouldn't talk because we can't. I mean, maybe we could create a musical. We should do that.
Us?
Yeah. I'm saying, people, could you imagine?
Was like, wait, what is she going with this?
But I just want somebody to, more new original works.
We need
Let's
original
try.
content. I'm sorry.
Let's try. Let's try. So that's gonna be interesting. I would only see it because of Betsy Wolf. I mean, she's definitely the major reason. So we'll see.
Yeah, and it's also going to be off Broadway, so I'm curious just how big the cast will even be. Like, I don't know. I don't really know what to expect. But it plans on opening
June 21st.
June 21st for previews and July
Yeah.
20th for the actual show. So we'll see. It was also announced that the Hollywood Bowl is going to be doing Jesus Christ Superstar, starring Cynthia Erivo as Jesus.
She's booked and busy, that woman.
She's booked and busy. It was also just announced that she's hosting the Tonys.
Insane.
She is a busy, busy woman, and I
So
gotta give her credit.
I can't wait for the rest of the cast to be announced because I'm so curious. And are they going to stream it? Because I want to see it.
Are they gonna have her in a long wig?
I don't know. That's what, I am so curious and I wish that we could go. So that's why I'm like, can they please live stream it? Because I would pay the $20 just to see what this production is going to be like. Remember when John Lennon was Jesus? John Lennon. Not John Lennon. Oh my God, John
John
Legend.
Legend.
John Lennon is dead.
I was
It's gonna be August 1st at 8 p.m.
like, what? Okay.
So we'll keep you updated. Hopefully they
We'll find
do.
out.
And I wanna see the rest of the cast because I'm so curious. I'm so curious.
Yeah, me too. And I guess the last piece of Broadway news. They announced the standbys for the last 5 years, which are Noah Kaiserman and Ossia Thomas. I get a weird feeling they announced it so that people be
Go
like,
see it.
oh, there's another option besides Nick Jonas. And I feel really bad about that.
I've never seen so much when the Outsiders got casted, you see ensemble, but there's hype around standbys for this production. And I feel like it's their marketing team being like, oh, we need to make sure people understand that there's gonna be days that Nick isn't in maybe and they wanna come. And that's a little sad to me because you're already setting failures. You know what I mean?
I think so. I mean, every show needs to have standbys. It's
Yeah.
important. But I think the way this was announced is a little bit weird.
And did you see on TikTok they did a video of them rehearsing and they made sure to put pictures of the standbys in it?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, go look at some point. Because it's very interesting to me, because I feel like not many productions do that, but they're making it a solid point. I think with all this hate that's coming towards him, Nick Jonas is gonna work harder and harder just to be an amazing Jamie. I feel like his competitive side is gonna come out, and I hope so because I would love to see him prove everybody wrong
I
and
agree. I
people
agree with
apologize.
that. I agree with that. We'll see what happens. I
Yeah, we're
don't
gonna
know.
go. We'll go. We'll let you guys know.
I think people need to have an open mind.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, moving on to the topic of the day,
Dun dun ding.
our review of Urinetown.
You're in town. That's all I got.
So,
forgot.
we have a lot of thoughts we have to go through. But prior to that, once again, just to talk through how we do this, because it's been a few weeks since our last review, we have it broken down by category. We rate each category 1 out of 10, 10 being the highest score. And then we add those scores all up. We divide by the number of categories to find out what is our average rating for the show. So our categories are costumes, set designs, songs and music, choreography, the book, ambiance slash crowd control, casting choices, and acting and pacing. Also, something we always mention are the theater bathrooms because they're
Yes.
important. Although I don't know if we use the bathrooms at Urinetown at the New York City Center. I don't remember going.
I don't think we did.
I don't think we
'Cause
did. We went at BroadwayCon right before we left.
yes, we did not use the potty, which is strange for us. That is strange.
Strange, more so for you.
Yeah.
You use the potty at every show.
That's
Sometimes
strange.
twice, but
Last night, yeah. I
true.
ran.
But before we get into like the actual review, just to talk a little bit about where you're little bit. Just to talk a little
Bit about
I got sleepy. Just
teamwork.
to talk, oh, thank you. Just to talk a little bit about what Urinetown is. So Urinetown is this story of this like dystopian society and this dystopian town where there's like a lot of water problems. There's a water shortage. And in order to solve that issue, this guy, who is like this crazy psycho evil villain dude who's played by Rainn Wilson. He's like a tycoon or
Yeah,
like
like a
kind of how you just
dictator.
like a
Yeah.
dictator type character. He charges people for the privilege to pee in quotes because that is one of the songs in the show. But what's weird is that they think that charging people to go to the bathroom is going to be what saves this town, theoretically, not like turning off like water pipes to brush your teeth and other things. Like, it's weird. They make the point to make
Yeah.
that said as well. Like, they still even do laundry. I don't get it. And then what ends up happening is his daughter comes home from college. She wants to learn how to be a part of the family business, and she sees that something's kind of up with the town and the way this is all being handled. At the same time, you have Jordan Fisher's character, what's his name?
Bobby
Bobby
Strong.
Strong. Thank you. I need help right now. 'Cause the show just bored me so much. So at the same time
Well, you have Bobby Strong, whose dad in like the opening scene decided he really had to pee and he didn't have the money, so just peed out in the open and they took him and they just killed him.
Yeah, well, what they do is they tell people that if you pee and you get arrested, you're going to be sent to this place called Urinetown, which people think is like either like a jail or a forbidden
Yeah.
island or something, but it's actually
No,
just
no.
death.
You're dead. You're pushed off of the top of like the building.
Which
Dead.
is crazy. So Jordan's character Bobby works at one of these like designated pee facilities. He works for Keila Settle's character, Soupy
Pennywise.
Sue. Oh no, Pennywise. Oh my God, you're right. Soupy Sue is Tiffany Mann's original character, but we saw Tiffany Mann as Keila.
What's the name? Soupy Sue?
Soupy Sue.
I did,
Because I have the
yeah.
cast list open on my computer, so I was reading Tiffany's because we saw Tiffany. Keila was out the night we
Yes.
went.
Yeah.
So he works for Keila Settle's character, Penelope Pennywise, and he says to her, I think we should stop charging people to pee. So he
Yeah.
tries to start a revolution, let people pee, everyone fight against the monarchy, and let's take our town back. I feel like that's pretty much it.
Without like spoiling. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely there's a bigger meaning to it in the fact that like you're charging to pee, but I think this production didn't adequately make those connections for the audience.
Very true. And I think because the production was like staged in like 3 weeks,
Yeah.
I almost feel like they missed the mark on it. Like, I just don't think they really dived deep into it enough. And I think it's a story that needs to be dived deeper into.
It's definitely not. I don't think it was the right choice of a musical to put on in that. There's so many other musicals that you could with a like smaller cast, less ensemble, maybe.
I just felt like everyone, the actors, even like the directing team, like and choreography team, I just felt like they didn't care. Like, I just felt like they were just trying to throw something together to get up on stage.
Well, I
And
think
like,
like
yeah.
well, I think like we like to see like why we love The Outsider so much, for example, is that they embody the characters and it's like an accurate portrayal. And I think like even though it's only 3 weeks, you could feel like the actors didn't put in the work that was needed for us as audience members to be like, wow.
It just felt very two-dimensional. Like you could tell, like these actors know that they're in a show. They know the audiences are coming because they have celebrity names, and that's it. Like, I almost felt like it was more of a money grab, like as horrible as that sounds. It's just like how I felt about it. And there are parts where they try to be funny. There's a lot of breaking of the fourth wall. There's a lot. But it just like it's so sporadic and all over the place, and the way it was directed just like didn't flow well together that none of it made sense.
I
At
think a
least to
lack of
me.
fo yeah, there was a lack of focus, I think. Like they wanted to do one thing, but the directing made it different. Like they were, and also like the actors weren't feeding off of each other to make things funnier. Like in some moments where we're supposed to be laughing, we were kind of like, oh, okay. Like that wasn't really
Yeah.
funny, or that just completely missed the mark because they were not feeding off of each other well.
Yeah, I don't know, it didn't feel cohesive. But let's break it down. Let's go category by category. So the first category we always talk about is costumes.
I mean, if they're supposed to look like drab, like I don't know why I was gonna say drabby because that is not a word. What's the word I'm thinking of?
Is drabby not a word? I thought it is a word.
Oh, it is a word? Okay.
I think it
It's
is.
like just like big clothes, kind of all over the place.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like, I don't know, they're supposed to look run down, like people are poor. Well, because it's po you're supposed to see the difference between Rainn Wilson's character and the rest of the cast. Like, you're supposed to see that he's like all the way up here, he's rich. His name's Cladwell. You're supposed to be able to see that he's like the rich of the rich, and everyone else is like down here, like they don't have money. But like, I don't know. There really weren't costumes. There's no costume changes. Like, everyone wore the same costume throughout the entire show. And I feel like even that shows that they put this rush together, like, because they needed costume changes to show the progression of time.
Yeah, they did. 'Cause it was all just so sporadic. I like Jordan Fisher's jumpsuit. I think that was funny and worked well for the character.
Yeah.
But
He
like
was supposed to
other
look like a
than
plumber.
yeah, other than that, it's kind of like I'm not like wow. I would say like
Like,
a between 4 and 5.
I agree with you. Like, there was no costume in the show that wowed me. I mean, I get it's supposed to just be like a town, but like, in a way, the town almost wasn't set like the actual place because all the costumes were so sporadic and different. Like, you couldn't figure out what time period you were in.
You know what I would have loved? If they wore like funny, like if the ensemble wore shirts like I love something, like I love pee, or like I love porta potties, like something fun, like you know what I mean? Like graphic tees, I think I would have liked, because I think that would bring in the dystopia vibe more. I don't know. That's just my thought. So I think, because it's like whatever, four.
I give it a 3.
Yeah, because it's like.
I don't think the costumes stood out. I also don't feel like the costumes necessarily complimented the people. Like, for example, you had Stephanie Stiles, who played Hope, which is the daughter of Cladwell. And she's supposed to be this little rich girl, very naive. Obviously they dressed her in all white because white means naive. Like, we all know that. But like, she's supposed to be like this love interest that multiple men are attracted to, and they make it a point in the show to like show that. I didn't think the costume was the most attractive look. And again, her costume made it look like you were in like the 1920s. Or like the 1930s, and I was just like, what time period am I in? And I know that's a part of your in town, is that it could be anywhere, anytime, any of us. But like, I don't know. I just don't think her cat costume in particular fit the character.
They needed a focus. This production needed a focus, and they just missed the mark.
I agree. Set designs. Now, here's my issue. I don't think they took into account the fact of sight lines, which I think every set designer needs to think about. Now, we were sitting because we, and I guess something we should talk about, we got $28 tickets through New York City Center's special program for anyone who's under 40 years old. You can sign up to be offered $28 tickets. Our sitting was in the rear of the mezzanine. There is such a significant overhang from the balcony. You lost the entire top half of the stage. We had no idea until Act Two that there was actually things taking place on top.
Yeah, I would say like I never want to sit there again. I felt so out of it. And at first when I was thinking about the musical, I was like, is it because of where we were sitting? Like if we were closer, would I felt different? I don't think so. But at the
No.
same time, the seats didn't help. You I like couldn't hear.
I couldn't
Like
hear anything. And I was also really struggling to see. I mean, we neither of us have
yeah.
great vision, but I was really struggling to see. And I was also really annoyed that you would hear characters talking, but we physically could not see them because they were standing on top.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Which is also poor directing. Like, the directors
Yeah.
need to take into account sight lines for the audience members, but the set designs do as well. Some of the sets were interesting, like the porta potties, the way they set that up, and then that would double as the office of Cladwell's. That was kind of cool. That was kind of the only set.
The orchestra was on stage, which I thought was
I like that.
interesting.
I like
Yeah.
that.
And
That's
the
also a staple of New York City Center. They do that a lot. Like, Into
Oh
the Woods had
really?
that too.
This is the first time I've ever been there. It wasn't like memorable. Kind of like
I would give it a 4 just because it really bothered me that there were parts of the set you physically could not see unless you were in the orchestra or you were in the balcony where there's no overhang over you.
I wonder if we would have been better in the balcony, but I also hate sitting that high up.
The balcony in that theater was so high. I think we would have been really uncomfortable.
Because it was just like frustrating to me. And you know what made me feel better? I actually heard someone else say this. They couldn't hear either. They were like, why is it so low? Why is the sound design? Why did they make it so low? So that made me feel better because I was like, are we deaf? Like, because at some points, even when Jordan Fisher was singing, I couldn't. When he was singing "Run, Fear, and Run," I was so excited about it, and I missed it
I
because.
couldn't hear the whole number. I almost wonder if we need to make another category in the future, like a sound design slash lighting design category.
Yeah,
Because
definitely.
it does make a difference with a show if it's done correctly. And I don't think it was done correctly in this case. Like, I would give it a 0.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to set designs, like, I just felt like it
It's
was
kind
bleh.
of, yeah, I'd give it a 4 too.
Yeah, I agree with a
Not
4.
memorable.
Songs and music. There may be two songs I remember from the whole show. And I don't know if it's because the music was necessarily bad. I didn't think the music was bad. There were some songs I liked. I just felt like, again, I was so taken out of it because of the lack of directing that it was like, and also because we couldn't hear it, I felt like I couldn't enjoy the music for what it was. Like, Run Freedom Run is a fantastic song. It's a fun song. You know, I hum it. But like I just couldn't hear it.
That was my issue, but I also like don't remember. All I know is yeah, Run Town. That's it.
See, that number I don't remember. I remember the number about the bunny. I remember Run Freedom Run. I remember Hope and Bobby's like duet. But those are also some of the more like famous songs from the musical. If I'm talking about the songs and music themselves, like I feel like it's okay music. Like I would give the music a six.
Yeah, it's okay. It's just like, am I going on Spotify right now being like, oh my gosh, I need to add You're in Town to my playlist? No.
No. Now, if we saw a different prediction, a different production of You're in Town, would we feel differently? Maybe. I just felt like I couldn't hear the music enough to appreciate it.
Yeah. I almost think, was the orchestra too loud? Like, I had such a hard time.
I also will say, I think this musical had an issue with stunt casting. They casted Rainn Wilson
Yes.
to play Cladwell. But I think it hurt the music because, as horrible as it sounds, Rain was struggling with singing the
Oh
night that we
yeah.
went. I don't know if it's like that every night, but he was struggling to hit notes. He was struggling to hit the marks. And you know, that affects your perspective of the music. If you hear a note in the wrong key, it's like, oof, it
Yeah,
turns you
it takes you.
away.
You're right. So I wonder if we should. I don't know.
I would maybe listen to like the original cast recording just to see the differences if we appreciate
Yeah,
it more.
because you're right. He
I think
was
I'm
struggling.
actually, he was. I think I'm gonna give it a five.
I'm gonna give it six.
Okay. Choreography.
It was all right.
Ensemble was working hard.
Yeah. You could tell. It's so funny to me when we see shows and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was a newsie. It's so cool to me. Like, because Danny Quadrino was in it, which that was a shame. We'll go when we remind me when we go to casting. We gotta talk about that.
Yeah.
Not ashamed that he was in it. He's amazing. But his role.
He deserved a better role.
Yes. But yeah, they were working hard. I mean, they were good.
Yeah, I mean the dancing wasn't bad. The choreography was cute. I think it was the worst part of the show? No.
No.
I also don't think there was a lot of choreography. It also, I will say, and this is not really, again, this is a directing choice, but the choreographer agreed to it. It bothered me that they incorporated the binders into the
Yes.
choreography and into the show in general. Like I know it's a thing at City Center that sometimes they come out with binders on stage. But I'm sorry. Like, I've put together musicals in like 3 weeks. You're professionals. Memorize your harmony line.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And also, like, can't you just like listen to the note and kind of figure it out from there? Just wing it a little bit?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you want it to sound good. I mean, you don't necessarily want to wing it, but like, these are professionals. They should be able to wing it. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, that kind of turned me away. Especially because, like, you have Jordan Fisher who just left Hadestown, and he was able to do it.
yeah, he was the only person that never took out a binder.
Yeah.
I hated how they put that into the choreography with the binders.
Gonna give it a 7. Because I don't think it was terrible, but.
Do I think it was the worst part of the show? No, but I am giving it a six.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The book itself, I didn't understand.
Okay, that was my major issue, is when was it written? Are the jokes just outdated? Because, like, what?
Let's see, You're in Town history.
2001 it first performed, so when was it written? Oh, around 2001.
It was 2001.
So was that?
It premiered at the New York Fringe Festival and then was changed to Off Broadway in 2001. And then it opened on Broadway in 2001. Oh my God, it opened September 20th, 2001, like right after 9/11.
Wow, that's crazy. So do you think that was an issue? Is we didn't, the jokes were outdated, or was it the acting choices? See, I can't, or the directing choices. That's where I'm struggling with. Is it the book is just like so outdated that it's not funny?
I don't know. I really think a lot of it was directing and acting choices. I just felt like when a director and an ensemble cares about a musical, you can tell, and I think it makes you fall in love with the story. I just felt like they didn't care at all, which like makes you not care about the story. I do agree with you. I think some of the jokes are outdated, but at the same time, like I know there are so many people who really cherish Your In Town as a story. They like some people like think it's their favorite musical. They think it's hilarious. They think it's awesome. I left not understanding why, and that's what bothered me.
I think there's definitely like a bigger meaning to it. And the issue with this production is it missed that mark. It missed the opportunity to teach that lesson in the way that the acting or the directing was, what they chose. Because I had to look up the ending and what it meant because I was very confused.
Yeah, it just like,
I was like, why'd they all have to die?
yeah, I don't know. I also wonder, did New York City Center cut out parts of it like we don't know about? And that's also why it
Maybe
felt rushed to us. It felt rushed, the book.
it definitely did, and it definitely like it just missed the mark on so many different levels, and it was a little upsetting to me because we put it like we were so excited about it. We got our tickets early. We're like, we're not missing it. Like we missed Ragtime. Now I'm like, we could have skipped it and
Yeah.
been totally okay.
You know, You're In Town felt very Brechtian. And you know, Bertolt Brecht, he wrote like Three Penny Opera, stuff like that. It's supposed to make you feel a little like uncomfortable while watching it. And like, it's supposed to just be like random little like segments here and there, like spliced together. And I think that's what You're In Town was meant to kind of be like. Like, again, it's like a satire of politics and stuff, and that's all very Brechtian. I think that's what it was referring to. I just think that this version missed the mark. I think we would have thought differently if we could hear it better, if the scenery and the actors supported it better. But like for me, the book's a two.
Yeah, I would completely agree.
Moving on to a different type of category. Ambiance and crowd control.
When we walked in, there was no music, right? Was there anything playing?
No, there was no music playing. I mean, I will say ambiance wise, like New York City Center is beautiful, but that has nothing to do with the actual show.
It didn't transport. I like when we, like, again, the Outsiders does a great job. When you walk in, you're kind of transported into that time period or that place. Like, you're transported into Tulsa when you walk into
Yeah.
the Outsiders. I like when places do that because it makes you forget about what's outside the theater. Here, I
Yeah.
walked in and I was like, all right, I got X, Y, and Z going on. Let me think about it until the show starts.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I even like, I don't know. I think almost New York City Center is so big. It's like, there is no ambiance. Like you're mentally aware you're in New York City Center, if that makes sense.
No, I agree completely. You're just kind of there instead of like, oh, I'm seeing you're in town. Let me be transported into this.
In terms of crowd control, I don't think the ushers really did anything.
No, I don't even
Like,
remember seeing anybody.
you know, like they were whooping and hollering. I was getting annoyed at the people next to us. They kept trying to swing underneath. Like we were in front of this pole, we were right behind it. They kept swinging underneath it to get out and like blocking us and like I don't understand how that was allowed. Like the usher should have said, no, you can't, you're not allowed to get exit the aisle that way. Like it actually caused a backup when everyone was
Yes,
trying
we
to
got
leave.
stuck. Yes. Were people talking during it? I don't know.
Yeah, there were people whispering during Urinetown. There was a lot of hooting and hollering to the point where you couldn't hear the show even more.
Well, that annoyed me when Jordan was hitting his high note, is people were already clapping before he'd finished. I was like, God damn it, I just missed my favorite part of the show.
But you know why people were doing that? Because before the show, we even saw the show, they already released a clip of it online. So everyone knew it was coming.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I was like, I just want to hear it live. So, like, shut the. I almost said a bad word. My bad.
It's okay. We'll hear something nicely in Mulan.
Oh, I'm gonna pass out. You're gonna have to, like, revive me.
I may
I'm
just
gonna
leave
die.
it
You're gonna have to.
there.
'Cause I'm gonna be like. But I don't know if I'll be worse with him or Aaron Tveit. 'Cause Aaron Tveit, I was unwell.
You were on another level. I was like, who is this person? Oh.
Unwell.
I'm giving Ambiance crowd control a four.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you again. Just gonna copy your number right there because it was not great.
Do it. Do it. Copy it.
And I'm curious, I wish we saw Ragtime,
I
but
think we would have liked it more.
I think we would have loved it because I think Joshua Henry put in like such extreme work to that role, and that's what I wanted to see.
Well, and that kind of brings us into the next two categories, which we always do together, which are casting choices and then acting and pacing. Casting choices, they missed the ball.
Oh, completely. Completely. Rainn Wilson, sorry, but he just was not the right fit. Even his acting wasn't great in the show.
I
And
was
his.
so disappointed by him.
Yeah, it wasn't
I
it.
felt like we were watching Dwight.
Yeah, and that was my issue, is like, but also like what's been annoying me a little bit with some of the shows we've been seeing is everybody's very one-dimensional instead of like building up to something. So every time he talked, he was the same tone, he was the same approach, and it made me not feel anything. I was just like, okay, like he's here again. Like it
I
didn't
agree.
like have the effect of like, oh, he's like an evil dictator. It was just like, okay, he's here. And
Yeah.
that's what's annoying me. It's like nobody has that build up to
No.
that.
Now, I can't really comment on like Keela's part because she was out the night we went. We saw Tiffany
Yeah.
Mann. Tiffany was great,
She was
given that
good.
we found out afterwards she only had 3 hours of rehearsal. Like, I gotta give a girl credit. But I think personally, I think the only casting choice they made correctly was Jordan as Bobby.
So I agree because I think he put in the work and like understood the innocence of Bobby, and then like he was so innocent in the
Aggression.
beginning and then he just like lost it at the end.
You know what casting choice really bothered me? You have a
What?
huge Broadway star like Christopher
Yes.
Fitzgerald. And he had like maybe one line the entire show. He was supposed to play like the second in command cop, but literally he had like no part. And I'm like, he is comedy gold. But then you have Greg Hildreth, who's also he's fantastic. He's a great
Yeah.
actor. But I'm sorry, he's not as big of a name as Christopher Fitzgerald. Their roles should have been reversed.
Definitely. And Danny Quadrino. I was shook to see him as just like less of a part of the ensemble than other people. Like
Yeah.
someone else had a bunch of lines and he had like none. And I'm like, what? It's Danny Quadrino. What are we doing?
Yeah, he had maybe like two lines. And even Kevin Cahoon, who played the older, he played first, he played Bobby's dad. And then he came out and he played like Harry in the second act, who's another one of the people as a part of like this revolution. Like he did a good job with it, but like I almost feel like Harry in the second act would have been a better role for Danny and let Kevin Cahoon, just shine as Bobby's dad in the first half.
I
Or
agree
Kevin should have
completely.
been one of the cops.
I agree completely because when he came back as Harry. I was like, oh, that's Bobby's dad. Like, he sounded the same. He looked the same. Like, there was no like drastic difference, and that annoyed me. Because I was like,
I
I need to
agree.
see the character switching, and I didn't. And he even had the same accent.
Yeah, there was physically no change. And also, it looked weird because
Yes.
you have the whole same ensemble together in the first half of the show. They make it a point that this is like the group of people that's trying to be the revolution. And all of a sudden, you have this random man who shows up and joins the group. And it's like suddenly there. Like, you're supposed to believe he
Yeah.
was there the whole time.
And I also saw something that usually in your in town, they'll cast like an not older, but like someone in their 20s or 30s to be little Sally. Is that her name?
Yeah.
They'll usually cast like a woman, not a kid,
Oh.
to make it more like farce almost.
So why did they do a
Because
child?
I don't know. I'm not saying the child wasn't great, like they were all right, but
She was a better actor than other people in the show.
yeah, but even that storyline made no sense to me. Like it wasn't necessary to have her. No.
Yeah. I also found Stephanie Styles' portrayal of Hope very one-dimensional. Like, the character almost got annoying after a certain point. Like, I couldn't understand why all these men were falling in love with her.
I also like she was choosing the wrong bits to try to make really funny.
Yeah.
And she was missing that mark again. Like, and her and Jordan, I did not feel anything.
I didn't
Like,
feel anything. You could tell they were just like trying to be love interest to be love interest. And also
yeah.
that love story comes like out of nowhere. I mean, you could tell Jordan cared the most out of the group, but even Jordan's acting in some circumstances felt very like one-dimensional to me. Like, I feel like we've seen him in much better roles.
Yeah, but I also think it's like super hard if like your scene partner isn't giving you anything to work off of.
Very
Like if she's
true.
coming at it one way, you're gonna come at it that way, and that's gonna be it. And I think nobody, that was where my issue with casting was, is they were not meshing well off of each other.
I think
In
they just
the,
rushed to put a cast together.
yeah, they just didn't. Like, I feel like Ragtime, they probably, I mean, we didn't see it, but from the videos I've seen, I think they did a great job of casting.
Yeah, I don't think I feel horrible, but I just don't think they did a good job with this musical,
No.
like at all. I don't think they did it justice.
No, they didn't.
I think I give casting and acting a one for both.
I
I
was gonna
really
give it a
didn't like
two.
it. Do it
I was gonna give
too.
it a two. Yeah. Because I was like, I like Jordan, but everyone else was kind of like, they just did people dirty for no reason.
I liked Jordan. I just feel like anyone could have played that part. Like, I don't think he wowed me enough in the role to be like, he's the
Yeah.
perfect Bobby. I don't know.
Yeah. Nobody wowed me there.
Okay. So now's the point of the podcast where I total the figures to see what our final rankings are while Skylar rambles.
What should I
I
ramble
cannot
about?
talk. I'm having so much trouble talking tonight.
What should I ramble about?
Anything your little heart desires.
Oh no. You know what happens when that happens.
It could be scary. It could be scary. Skylar last night, she always like funnily like rambles things when we're like at shows and like we're waiting outside and stuff at stage doors. And you were on like a rambling like
I just
rant where we were trying to
ramble.
walk back to the car. She started singing to me and serenading me. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I just talk the talk.
Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Urinetown. Urinetown was probably my most disappointed show, and I think we could both agree. I think we put too much hype into it, maybe. I don't know. But it was also snowing that day, and like we had the opportunity to leave and like avoid the snow, and we decided to be like adventurous because we really wanted to see it. But now I really regret not leaving before the snow started.
Preach.
And I think like I left there being like, I need to go to the ear doctor because I was like, I can't hear. I was like, am I deaf? And that annoyed me a bit, but then I listened to other people and they said the same thing, and I felt a little bit better. I don't know. Am I upset that we didn't see Kit? How do you say her name? Kalila?
Kayla?
Keela. Steal a little bit, but I honestly don't think it would have changed my opinion of this production. Very sad.
Rambling over, I
That
have the
was a good
final
one.
scores. That was a good one. Very well done. And it's true. I can't believe I drove in that snowstorm for zero reason. But
Yeah.
fun. We had another night of a sleepover, so whatever.
Around what? 3 days. Yeah. You're
Yeah,
stuck with me for 3 days.
3-day sleepover. Final rankings.
I'm so excited. I think, wait, can I take a guess?
Yes.
I think like mine's gonna be like a four something. Yours gonna be like a three something. It's higher than that.
You gave it a 3.87 out of 10, and I gave it a
Oh.
3.25 out of 10.
Oh my God. That's the worst one.
Worst one we've ever had, and it feels very accurate to me. I thought I was going to be closer to a 2. I
Wow.
really didn't like it. I'm sorry.
So listen, if you missed Urinetown at City Center, don't be upset.
You didn't miss anything. Well, I guess that's it for this week.
Wow, I'm shooketh.
I know.
But wait, we're gonna manifest before we leave.
Okay, manifestations for the week. Because our other manifestations, by the way, everyone from last week, if you go listen to them, some of them came true. So, manifestations that we see Gatsby.
We will see Gadsby Saturday at 2 o'clock.
And I manifest that somehow we're going to get rush tickets to the Outsiders.
We will see the Outsiders on Saturday at 8 o'clock.
So once again, I'm Michelle and this is Skylar. Make sure you follow us on TikTok at Love Letters to BWay with one Y or at Love Letters to BWay with two Ys on Instagram. And once again, you can always reach us at loveletterstobroadway@gmail.com. Once again, that's at loveletterstobroadway@gmail.com. Please reach us for all business inquiries. You will get me at any point during the evening except 5 a.m., which is when you will get Skylar.
Hour. And next week we're going to talk about Gypsy.
We have
So stay
thoughts.
tuned. We got
Bye,
lots of thoughts. Have a good week, guys.
guys.
Bye.